Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5. That is the sound of Morgan Mallory's brand spanking new single. It's called Would It Be Different? And you, great. That's why I got this job, because I'm really good at that talking thing. Would it be different on KX93.5? Probably the first time it's been aired on the radio, I think. No, yes? Just say yes.
Yes. Actually, this is the radio premiere.
Correct answer.
Thank you.
And very delighted to hear that. That's really cool. Pop-mungus, actually.
Pop-mungus.
Isn't it? Pop-pickers. I mean, really, you know, I've only ever seen you, well, I saw you at playing piano and singing at one of our tribute night events, the Bowie night.
The Bowie night, that was so much fun.
Man, you killed it. I got a phone call the next day from one of the players in the band who said, who's that guy? This is a guy who's toured the world, you know. The bass player, Alan Deramo.
Oh, wow.
Played with everybody. I mean, he's like, he's really the Wrecking Crew. He's that dude.
Okay.
He's called into everything in LA. I mean, really the real deal. And he's playing bass that night. He called me the next day, and he's very reticent about stuff like this. He's played with everyone. He's a little cynical and jaded. He called me and he said, that dude with the beard on the piano, who is that guy? Really? You should stay in touch with him. I should put you together, you know.
Please.
I should, because he's a very talented guy, and he knows a lot of people. So, yeah. He's a lovely guy, too. He's
love to give him a hug.
Knows about everything. One of those guys that's, like, encyclopedic. Like, if you say, do you know that record? He goes, oh, yeah, that record. And the drummer on that record is the brother-in-law of the singer on that record. You know, he knows all that stuff, you know.
He's one degree of separation away from everything.
I wanted to ask you about The Voice.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about The Voice. You were on The Voice briefly, so interested in that. I'm fascinated in a sort of dark way about those shows.
Yeah, there's a dark fascination about it. Any way you spin it. So, let's see. How do I encapsulate this? Because here's the thing: when you get pulled onto one of those shows,
were you pulled on, or did you just enter? How do you get on that show?
I got an audition. I auditioned by video first, and they liked the video, and then from that, they had me come and do a private audition in Seattle.
Right.
And then that worked out.
Yeah.
And it just kept going. Like, they kept calling me back, and I kept getting more and more surprised. Like, what? They said yes? Okay. Keep moving. Fast forward a few months.
There's quite a long process before you even get on the show itself.
From the submission of the video to actually getting to the final piece where you're standing on the stage performing your song to the back of four chairs, it's probably close to a year. Anywhere from 6 to 8 months, at least. So that process happened, and then I don't want to reveal too much, but it's there's a grooming process, because not everybody knows what they're doing. You know, they just find people that have with their natural ability. Maybe they've got like a special charisma about them, and they're kind of rough around the edges, or maybe they're incredibly polished, or you know, everyone's so different. And you don't know. You don't know why you're there. You just know that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And they only tell you enough to, like, keep you, like...
This sounds like my worst...
Staying a part of it.
Nightmare. This is Room 101 meets, you know, 1984.
Right.
So go on. So Big Brother's got a hold of you.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say that. You know, they really do a good job of, while you're in it and a part of it, making you feel at home. Like, they really do a good job of making you feel comfortable, and that they are caring for you. Like, they do treat us really, really well.
Yeah.
We got to hang out with some of the American Idol people who were also in the same area, practicing for their tour, like an American Idol tour. Yeah. And we got to compare stories. Like, we'd hang out at the pool, and it just, you know, let's just say, I think I can say this now because their last season is happening. But let's just say that between the two shows, the voice people were definitely treated a bit better.
Right.
So that's all I'll say about that. But as you get to the end, you know, my personal story was interesting because people always say, "Oh, you were on The Voice," and I just have to laugh. Like I was technically.
15. Like you said to me in the break, 15 seconds.
Well,
what happened? You go. This is the actual show itself. You go on the stage. What did you sing?
Well, a good like 6 months of grooming of the thing. They fly my family out, so they're watching backstage.
Right.
And I go out there and I sing a Jason Mraz song.
Okay.
And I mean, okay, cool. There are a couple Jason Mraz songs that I might be able to sing, but this was not like a good example of my performing. It was the song that I auditioned with in the video.
Okay.
But I gave them a myriad of other songs that I was definitely a better performer with.
Okay.
But they didn't choose them. Probably because somebody else was doing it. But I get out there. I start singing my song, and we've turned it into a gospel thing. So it's Jason Mraz. I can't remember the name of the song now.
I wouldn't know a Jason Mraz song if it bit me on the ear.
Well, in any case, it's supposed to be pretty chill. And we ended up making kind of like a gospel-y, like upbeat, like stand up and clap sort of song.
Yeah.
And the audience is jumping up and clapping with me and everything. And like the song is going on and on and on. No one's turning. Oh, it's the last like measure. No one's turned. And the lights come out. Okay. Interesting.
How do you feel at that moment? Like just, you've spent 6 months being groomed for this.
And then you want a recount. You feel like Florida.
This can't be right. This is not Florida. Exactly, yeah.
It was definitely interesting. It was a little soul-crushing in the moment.
Yeah.
And when I say little, it was an understatement. But at the time, you know, you've built this up. They've spent so long telling you, like, you've got it. You're so unique. And then it ends, and then you're just left with this, like, well, now what? You know, I spent so long, and all of my family, friends, you know, they don't know where I've been for the past month. How can I explain this to them? You can't say anything until the premiere of the show. But a very interesting thing happened. And I think this is, I honestly believe them that serendipity is a real thing. And I make the joke, those that hang out with me a lot know that sometimes I'll say serendipity is my middle name. I feel like it was supposed to happen this way. Because after the light emotional breakdown of this not coming to fruition.
Wait, what was it like backstage when you came off the stage? Nobody could look you in the eye, I bet.
It was interesting. They were just like, okay, you need to go this way.
We're going to
go
see
you. But they did. They did.
No doubt.
Yeah, sat down with someone for a little bit and let out all my feelings. The interesting part was my parents were there. So we all have to fly back together. So we're all on the same flight.
Oh my God.
And I'm just not speaking. It's odd for me to not talk for any length of time.
Clearly.
This light bulb clicks on. Like, wait a second. What is the date? And I remember that every year there's this magical festival that I go to every year called Oregon Country Fair. And it happens just outside of Eugene, Oregon. And I go with this incredible family of friends. I call them my tribe, people from Portland that kind of helped shape me in my early 20s. And I realize that it's happening the next day, that not making it onto the show allows me to now go to this thing. Now, no one knows where I've been. I didn't tell anybody. And for the next week, I slept in a tent with a drum strapped to my back.
Back to normal.
Barely wearing a shirt.
Back to reality.
Yeah, like back to, like, from nothing. From Hollywood 101 to the middle of the forest.
Right,
surrounded by people dressed like characters from Lord of the Rings and body paint. Just music and food and fun and love and just, like, complete acceptance.
Yeah.
And it's like a cross between a Ren Fair and Woodstock. That's the best way that I could describe Oregon Country Fair. And that was what I was thrust into. Didn't tell anybody. And just lost myself in it and felt so at ease with the whole thing. And it gave me the clarity to chase this record, getting it done, getting the crowdfund thing, making sure that some of the funds from that made it back into the arts programs that helped develop me as a teenager. And so like all of that was that light bulb that clicked on. Like, wait a second. Now I have another opportunity to do it my way. And it's like,
you know what?
I'm so thankful for that.
You know, a musical career is a long-term commitment. You know, and it's about writing and being and changing and growing and blah 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 and all the sort of happy stuff that we talk about. And it's not about it really isn't about going on a TV show and winning a competition. And it turns these people into douchebags. I've met people who've been on these shows I'm telling you, because they don't get that it's about being in a garage with your friends and yelling and arguing about whether it should be an A minor or a C chord. That, you know, for 3 years.
Right.
That's what it's about. I've heard Dave Grohl say it much better than I could ever say it.
Well, it's a long blurb. But right. Yeah, I think about that all the time. It's like
He's right.
These teenagers think that that's what it means to be a musician. It's like, no, you actually have to make these decisions and make feel the pain from these things not working out. And then the pain is necessary.
And just for full disclosure, I have been on one of these TV shows years ago.
Really?
Oh, yeah, before any of The Voice or The American Idol. Mm. In fact, they were really based on shows like this. Mm. It was three celebrities, and we came up, we did our things, and we got off the stage, and somebody won, and that was the end of it, really, because there was no tour. It wasn't as a machine like it is today. Just a talent show on TV in Britain. And nobody watched this show. None of my friends watched this show because it was cheesy, you know. They weren't into it. But the show that I was on, in the commercial break in the middle of the show, they showed a trailer for a soap opera that everybody watches, young and old. My wife still watches it today. From here, she watches British TV from here. There's a soap opera called Coronation Street, and everybody watches it, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not, you know, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, or whatever that show's called over here, like just old ladies watch. This is a show that everybody watches. This show's comedy in it, drama, blah, blah, blah. So they showed a commercial break with this show, in the middle of Coronation Street, a trailer for this show.
Mm.
Pot of Gold, it was called. The show, right? So
Pot of Gold.
Everybody watched this Coronation Street, and they saw this trailer. And the phone started ringing. Are you on that show? Are you on that show? So now everybody knows I'm on that show.
Yeah.
So everybody watched it. And about, I'll just tell you this really quickly. About 2 years later, I'm sitting in Sony Music in LA. I'm about to be signed. And a guy sticks his head around the door and he says, "Were you on Pot of Gold?" And I said, "No." And I swear to God, that was the moment when my career fell apart.
When you said no?
Because it was so, no, they knew I'd been on the show and it was so uncool. That wasn't the kind of artist I was, man. They didn't want to sign someone who'd been on one of the shows.
Right.
I had dreadlocks and I was kind of funky, but I wore a suit. So it was a look, you know.
Yeah.
And they were into it. And so, unfortunately, it killed my career. I'm telling you, it's one of the contributing factors.
Well, let me give you a quick success story of why I think that show is good for some people. If they've already got a clear concept of what they've built, and that's a lot of the local or just independent artists in general are not really encouraged in this country to develop themselves in a really smart way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's artistry in general is kind of stomped all over.
Right, it's more about celebrity.
I could talk about that forever. But there are a couple people that I've been watching just from the season that I was involved with that are absolutely killing it in their own areas. Because of the exposure they got from it, they turned it into their own thing. One girl by the name of Kat Robichaux, she's in San Francisco right now. She was on the East Coast, kind of living like East, South area. And she moved out to San Francisco, and she is just destroying it, creating her own thing. And using the momentum that she got from it.
Because
she had just a clear concept of what she needed to do and what needed to be done and how to do it. And those numbers helped her launch it back up. And she's just incredible. She's an incredible performer. She's got so much energy. Branding is dialed. She does it all herself.
Yeah.
She's the perfect example of someone that a show like that
really helped.
You know, she didn't win, but she did.
Well, you're a nice,
she didn't win the show.
You know what, Morgan Mallory, you're a nice guy for saying that, and you're such a positive soul, and you're a very engaging speaker. And I'm excited very much for Sunset Serenades on the 27th of May, and also for Local Grooves, April 17th, and the new record that's coming out. When's the whole thing going to be ready?
To be determined.
Let's
see, maybe June. I keep pushing the date out.
What's your website so people can... be more aware of what's happening.
MorganMallory.com. And there's links to all social media stuff there. If you guys need tickets, if you want tickets to Local Brews, Local Grooves, you can either pay for them at the door or you can get them for free from me. And if you contact me through the website, through social media, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, reach out to me, let me know how many you want, and I'll send them out to you.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Free tickets to Morgan Mallory at Local Brews, Local Grooves. You heard it here on April 17th. Go to Morgan's website, send him an email. Go to his Facebook page, whatever. Keep in touch. Because we love you, man.
Love you guys, too.
Yeah. And we're going to play your music as it comes in. So, you know, keep us in the loop.
Okay.
If you would.
Oh, if y'all listening want to call in and request the songs, feel free.
Yeah,
please do.
Please do. It's 949-715-5936.
Let's trick some people into thinking that you guys actually want to hear me.
Oh, come on. So humble. What a guy. Morgan Mallory was here on KX 93.5. It's Laguna's only FM. Thanks, mate.